Oh, this is beautiful. This is an old tune from House of Pain. Joining us right now, that's, of course, Stevie Wonder. It's Wendy Snyder here. And please welcome Danny Boy O'Connor to the airwaves at WGN. Hi, Danny Boy.
Good morning or good afternoon. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We have been talking about the book, the museum. First of all, let's just say, yes, House of Pain, you co-founded it, and Jump mm-hmm. Around, we all know that mm-hmm. song. But The Outsiders, we all know this book. We all know this movie. We've been talking about it this morning. This is one of those books you read in high school, and it has such an impact. And then a movie was made. All the generations have seen it. And you own the actual house that Francis Ford Coppola filled this movie in. How did that happen?
Well, it's an interesting story. I didn't read in seventh grade, although it was required seventh grade reading, but I was in seventh grade when the movie came out. So I fell in love with the movie, the struggles with the characters, the problems they faced, and the hope that they saw. And never in a million years did I think I would end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, of all places. But in 2009, we were on tour. We played the historic Kings Ballroom, and we had a three-day layover, which meant it was cheaper to stay here than to move on to Dallas to the next spot. So I thought, what am I going to do in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 3 days? And I had an epiphany. Oh, my goodness, I think I know this place, even though I had never been here before. And it was because of The Outsiders. So I went looking for locations. I'm happy to tell you that the drive-in from the movie still exists and is still thriving. The theater that they filmed it in and that she writes about in the book, As I Stepped Out from the Darkness to the Bright Sunlight, which is the Circle Cinema, is about to celebrate its 100th year anniversary. And then I found the house, which was, oddly enough, still here and for sale. It took me about 5 years to go back and forth pondering, you know, the possibilities. But in 2016, I believe, I bought the house and did a fundraiser online to turn it into a museum. And it's been a museum for the last 6 years or so. And we do close to 6,000 students a semester from five different states around that come for the student tours, and we're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to the general public, and it's been doing gangbusters. And you're correct that it's a book, you're correct that it's a movie, you're correct that it's a museum, and it's also the number one musical on Broadway as well, and it's touring the U.S. as we speak, so the legacy lives on, and it's reaching all new fans as we speak, so it's been an incredible journey for me.
And what is it about this movie that appeals to all the different age groups? Because that's what astounds me. First of all, I'm a huge Francis Ford Coppola fan.
Same.
Yeah, anything, you know. He could do a commercial and I'd watch it nonstop. But The Outsiders, it's like it really kind of touched our... we had freaks and jocks. That's what we called them in high school. What were your different...
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, the freaks and jocks.
Yeah, same thing. It wasn't freaks and jocks, but it was similar. It was just like the haves and the have-nots. I came from New York when I was, you know, 7 years old. And by the time I got to high school, I went to high school, I had very much... predominantly upper middle class to rich kids, and we were very much lower middle class, so I felt the class difference immediately. And it was one of those things I think that every kid goes through, whether you're from one side of the tracks or the other, you always think the grass is greener on the other side, and trying to find a place to find a happy medium is the important part, is to see the same sunset and to have that takeaway. So every time I talk to kids about it, it means something different to them, but the through line is really that there's hope, you know. And I think equally as impressive, if you know about the book, which we do, the author wrote it when she was 15 and a half. She failed English the year she wrote it, and she got a D+ in creative writing. And for me, that's even more inspiring because, you know, it wasn't like she had a Mensa card and was valedictorian that year. She was like everybody else, struggling to make it through high school. And she wrote a masterpiece, literally an American classic. It's never been out of print in over 50 years and,
wow,
and sells more now than ever. So when I tell the students that, I think they're more impressed because the light bulbs go on. And they think, well, maybe I don't test well in, you know, some of these subjects, but maybe my creative juices are still, you know, worth a lick. And
yeah,
I think in the Midwest is something that, you know, again, born in New York, raised in Los Angeles, moved to Tulsa 10 years ago from Beverly Hills. I say that to say that there's a whole swath of the U.S. that has such an authentic voice, And that voice isn't told us is not enough, in my opinion, as the coastal voices. And there's such a strong bond to, you know, family and country, and just those struggles are real. And they articulate it, I think, better than, you know, than others. And this book is, there's just an authenticity about this book and movie that just shines through. So,
all right, Danny Boy O'Connor on the line with us. We're talking about the Outsiders House Museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're also going to talk about your book, but you keep saying she, and I want to mention that I feel so ignorant because my 23-year-old son, I said, did you know S.E. Hinton was a woman? And my son Dylan goes, yeah. I did not know that till yesterday. And
well, don't feel bad. Yeah, we get that all the time. You're not the only one.
All right. So now you've met with her. She's seen the museum. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so originally I met her, I did a podcast, and I brought on the tall Soch, Darren Dalton from the movie, and had him on, and she called into the podcast. And then after finding the house in 2009, I came back to Tulsa annually just to look at it and check in. I had the idea that it could be a museum, but I was kind of gun-shy. I didn't want to get myself, you know, in over my head. And then around 2016, I finally thought if somebody doesn't do something, it's going to get torn down, because the neighborhood that it's in was getting like systematically torn down. They were building new houses. And so I jumped in the 11th hour, got the house. And then the first person I went to meet was with S.E. Hinton. And I asked her, hey, if this is going to step on your toes and you know, something you're against your wishes, I don't want to buy the house and do anything with it. She says, Danny, I got enough problems with my own, keeping up my own house. Do whatever you want with that house. So I was like, okay, we got a clear runway. We've been fast friends ever since. She's an amazing woman. She's still alive. She still lives here in Tulsa. And she's been literally the number one supporter of the house financially, and just, you know, in showing up and co-signing everything we do. And it's been an incredible experience for me, because for me, you know, you said Coppola, and I'm with you with the Coppola, my absolute favorite director, but above her, him is her, and Susie is at the tip of the spear for like cool creatives, you know, because she's just so, there's just one, she's a one of one in every possible sense of the word.
I mean, what does she even say about the hugeness of her book that she wrote when she was 15 years old? I mean, is she pinching herself? Can she really believe it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to be disingenuous. I think, you know, she's never known what it's like to be famous from that book since she's about 16 years old. So for her, she's very happy that the museum exists, because we handle all of the fans that want a piece of her, but she doesn't have it to give, if you understand. And so she's a very much guarded. She likes her personal space.
Yeah.
She likes to be, you know. So we, for years, people were asking her, can you come out to speak to our school again? Can you come speak to the students? And she had done it for a while. But I think it was too much, you know, it was heavy for her. So
yeah.
With the museum, we not only service the fan base from all the generations, but we do the school tour specifically Monday through Thursday as a nonprofit. And like I said, the school tours are ridiculous, the amount of kids that we get from all over the U.S., but mainly, like, you know, the five surrounding states and everything in Oklahoma. And those kids, it's like a Willy Wonka, you know, chocolate factory
yeah.
tour for them. I mean, I never got a tour like that when I was a kid. So
me neither.
I can only imagine. But when you see the smiles, the cries of joy, and the, you know, all of the reenactment that they try to do, and it's incredible. And it's just a wonderful day in Tulsa for these kids to just, you know, visualize all the stuff they just read about. So.
Well, what an accomplishment for S.E. Hinton and for you, because now you mm-hmm. have a book, Staying Gold, The Oral History of the Outsiders, and it came out this past November?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Book came out, yeah.
All right, so you got to do the interviews with, can I just tell you the star-studded cast, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rob Lowe, Ralph Macchio, C. Thomas Howell, Leif Garrett, David Arquette, Dennis Quaid. This is unbelievable. So tell us about what you learned that you didn't know prior to these interviews.
You know what? There's so much it would take an entire week to unpack. But one of my favorite movies, favorite memories of doing that book, which was we were on the phone with Ralph Macchio for about an hour and a half, getting an interview from him. And then we hung up the phone and we went to the front of the museum. We were doing it in my car on the premises. And we got to the front door and there was a father and his daughter who drove all the way from New Jersey. And I said, oh, would you like to be interviewed for a book we're working on? Potentially we could use it. And he said, I have a crazy story. And this is, we hear crazy stories all the time, but his story really touched me because he said, Danny, I'm the same age as you, and this movie was my favorite movie. It was my favorite book. And he thought, you know, I'm keeping my book from when I'm 16, and when I have a son, I will turn him into an Outsiders fan, and we will read the book together and, you know, enjoy this legacy. And he did have a son, and his son did turn 16, and he gave him the book, and it just didn't resonate with him. He was so bummed out and depressed about it. And he said, a week later, my daughter, who was like 13 at the time, picked up the book and devoured it, and it became her favorite. And little did I know that this was what it was meant for. And now she's 16, and I said, you can go anywhere in the U.S., and I'll take you there for your birthday. And she said, Dad, I want to go to the Outsiders' house. So we drove all the way from New Jersey to meet us. And it was just the irony of just, you know, wanting to pass it on to your son, but your daughter picks it up, and that becomes her favorite, and it solidified the bond between father and daughter in a way that, you know, nothing else could. That book is, there's magic in that book, and there's many stories that I could tell you just like that. At this point, I'm never amazed or shocked by any of the stories. I'm always amazed, but never shocked by the stories that I hear, because it's just, I can't even put into words how important this book is and why it touches people in so many different ways. But it is magic, and we're happy to service the legacy and make sure that it continues on.
Where do we get this book? Because I am sorry to say I didn't have a chance to pick up the book before I'm talking to you, and now that's what I'm going to do this afternoon is order this book. What's the best place?
You can get it anywhere from any of your top booksellers, or Amazon is probably the easiest, cheapest way to do it. And I have, you know, still there.
Diane Lane was very lucky getting to work with Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, C. Thomas Howell, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, mm-hmm. Emilio Estevez. I'm so sorry that it didn't work out for Tom Cruise. I wonder what happened to him.
I know, right?
Jeez.
He had the smallest role in The Outsiders and is the biggest star in the world.
How about that? Now, how did Coppola mm-hmm. find these? Some were unknown actors at the time, right?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, his producing partner and him, you know, held open casting calls in the West Coast and East Coast. And I think everybody in Hollywood, you know, at one point read for this thing, and he just kept pairing two different people. Now, you be Dallas, and you be John, and you be Ponyboy, and you be Cherry. And he just said when he started to feel that there was a good, you know, swath of those actors, and then they gelled right, he picked those actors. But I do know that Matt Dillon went in there. They called for him specifically. Coppola took one look at him and said, send him home. And so he left the casting office and kind of dismayed and called his mom and said, no. And he took one look at me and told me to go home. And she was like, oh, better luck next time. And then about an hour later, they said, you got the gig. So Coppola saw him immediately and knew that's what I'm looking for in Dallas. And, you know, it was a sure thing. He didn't even need him to read. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. A texter just texted in from 847. Have any of the actors from the movie come out to the museum? I'm sure they have.
Great. Yeah, great question. So, yes is the answer. We've had C. Thomas Howell come by, Ponyboy, many times, from playing music on the lawn to autograph signings, movies on the lawn. We've had Ralph Macchio, Darren Dalton, the tall Sox, Essie Hinton, obviously, has been many times. We have a whole autograph wall in there at the museum of all the people who have ever worked on this movie, whether they were caterers to the top stars. Matt Dillon's been by. Rob Lowe's been by. It's easier to tell you who hasn't been by.
Yeah.
It's an incredible, like I said, it just never, every weekend we're packed. We don't do any advertising other than post on social media or ours. And organically, it just resonates year after year, and immense new fans every year in seventh grade. So we're very fortunate and happy to, you know, keep her legacy alive and well.
You know, I liked George Orwell and the book 1984, but you don't see me like getting a whole museum. I know listen, I just love the story of S.E. Hinton. Maybe wasn't just like everyone else, but you have to do what makes you happy. You've done that. This is now, what, the third Outsiders book that you've been a part of?
Yeah, well, we've done three coffee table books and then one written book with Penguin, the book you're talking about. And I got a few more up my sleeve. And like I said, you know, the, going back to what you just said, the opportunity to do museums based off of legacies is something that is very much a good opportunity for anybody who loves something as much as I do to look into that, especially in the age of AI where everything is becoming antiquated and digital and, you know, these historic locations are worth saving. And I think more people should do. I mean, I know that you probably know that there's the Christmas Story Museum in Cleveland and the Field of Dreams in Iowa and the Goonies House in Oregon. And a lot of people are looking at these things now like, hey, man, we should save these for the, you know, future generations to, you know, discover the legacies.
Yeah, but it also makes us feel better going back down that path of nostalgia, doesn't it?
Of course. It's a time that it was a lot simpler. Life was a lot easier. And yeah, so we hark back to that. And again, the book does the heavy lifting. You know, the book year after year gets discovered by a new, you know, horde of teens and they fall in love with it. And some of the legacies do not regenerate like that. So it's easier said than done. But I love that people are looking at these movie, history, literature locations and saying, hey, we should probably, you know, take a look at saving these things because the world's a better place for it.
Oh, absolutely. All right, here is my to-do list. Tonight, I'm going to go home and watch The Outsiders because it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I'm going to order Stained Gold, The Oral History of the Outsiders. There's an audio book, too. How do you, you and Soleil Moon Frye, huh?
Yeah, she's her old school friend from back in the day. She was there when we first, you know, came to prominence and fame with our hip hop, you know, albums. And she's been a fast friend for years. So, she was the perfect person to do it. When I went to California to show her the photo book that I was working on, her daughters were completely obsessed. And they're like, dude, what are you talking about? We know that they were reciting lines. And I was like, she's the perfect person to do it. She's got a raspy voice and she's a greaser at heart. So
that's awesome. We all watched Punky Brewster, too. And my third thing I'm going to do is sometime this summer, I'm going to head over to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and check out the Outsiders House Museum because, damn, this sounds so cool. Congratulations on all the success. Please give S.E. Hinton my best and thank her for the culture she gave us because it really means a lot to us.
Yeah, I will do that. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering if you're working on any music, too. Just got to ask you that.
Yeah, you know what? At 57 years old, I think, you know, that's behind me. We've went on a few tours, but other than riding the gravy train, I love what I do here. And I do want to touch on how much Tulsa's changed. In the last 10 years that I've been here, this place is going, like, off the Richter scale. There's so many new attractions and the historic value that's here. Route 66 is running through. We have the longest rideable route of Route 66, and this year is the
100 years, baby.
100 years. It starts in Chicago. You guys know.
That's right.
It runs through, yeah, but it runs through here quite nice, and so we're kind of gearing up for all of the gearheads and motorcycle boys and all of that to come through. So it's incredible town. When you get here, you can look me up and I will give you the nickel tour for free.
Excellent. Such a pleasure to meet you, Danny Boy O'Connor.
Thank you,
and yeah, good luck with everything. Stained Gold, The Oral History of the Outsiders, and you can go to theoutsidershouse.com and make a little trip this summer, people, because it's worth checking out. Thank you, Danny. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Stay gold.
All right, you too. Stay gold. I love it. Danny Boy told me to stay gold. I like it.